Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
That right there is what it's all about, amen? Reaching people. Sorry, boss. You never saw me change my shirt, did you? So good. There are so many opportunities to be involved, and I really, really do encourage you. One of the new initiatives we're looking at is sports chaplaincy. Right now, there are 3,000 sporting clubs in Australia who are asking for a chaplain. In about 3 hours, we can train you and release you into the community for Jesus. So that might be something you might want to think about and pray about. And that can be in any number of sports, both male, female, all kinds of different ages, and you know, from the Little East to maybe you're a parent and you take your kids to a sporting thing. Why don't you be a chaplain to your club? What an opportunity to share Jesus, just to be light and salt in that community. So much there that we're doing that just love you to come and be a part of. All right, well, I better get speaking. I got 10 minutes. 10 minutes, right. You know, we're changing seasons, so we're about to embark on a whole new season where we are looking to others and being about for others. And I just love this season because it's the heart of lost found. You know, if you're not finding lost, you're not making disciples. If you're not making disciples, you're not reaching nations. Yeah? You've got to have lost found to be able to disciple more people, to reach nations. And how many people right in this room now could be a part of reaching nations for Jesus? How many of your friends? Anyway. I just know God is doing something in this season. You know, this COVID season has been, for me, pretty challenging because I've had to cancel so many trips that we're doing all over the world and teams and some of the stuff we can't, you know, haven't been able to do in community. But you know what I'm sensing, and this is what I know God is doing. He is drawing us close to Him. He is preparing us for a new season that is coming. He's preparing us for a harvest that is coming. And if you've got half an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, He is saying, come on, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Draw near to me and I'm going to fire up your heart because there's a harvest that is coming. There's a harvest that is going to be unleashed on this world and we're going to be a part of it. Amen? We want to be a part of it. So God is preparing our hearts to be a part of this. And so, you know, there are millions and millions. I've just been thinking so much about this lately. There are so many people that don't know Jesus. So many people that surround our worlds that don't know Jesus. Can you imagine what it's going to be like on that day when every single person stands before His throne and He goes, you're mine? Sorry, I didn't know you. You're mine? Sorry, I didn't know you. Can I have this front row just very quickly? Come up on the platform. Just come up here quick. This is we're going to have a fashion competition. No, we're not. I want you to imagine for a moment, you know these people or you know many of them, but I want you to just put that down for a side. And I want you to think about this for a moment, that every one of these people are people that surround your world. People at uni or in your workplace. People in your neighborhood, people at your college, friends, just people who are a part of your world. Now I want you to imagine for a moment, and you're going to have to really use your imagination here.
that I'm Jesus. Jesus got hair, I know. All the pictures, he's got hair. But he's older than me, so it's okay. So these people are people surrounding your world, and I'm Jesus, and I've just come back to take with me those who know me and love me. And I'm looking at this line and going, Lou, I know you. Come here, come and join me. You're coming with me. You've served me. You know me. I love you. And then I'm looking at Shamim and saying, Shamim, I know you too. Wow. You guys are awesome. You're coming with me. What about them? What's going to happen to them? Beautiful people. You know what? These people are your opportunity to share the heart and the love of Jesus, because they're people in your world that God has put into your world. You have the amazing privilege and opportunity to be able to say, hey, you can know Jesus. And one day, when I come again, you and you and you, and sorry, and you and you and you, you're all coming with me because you know Jesus, because you've talked to them and you've gotten into their lives and seen Jesus come to them. Thank you. You can take your seats. What an amazing opportunity we have. How privileged we are to see them. And so what I want to share tonight, and my sermon title tonight, is Your World, My World. You see, Jesus was so passionate about others and seeing the lost found. Oh man, it can become almost cliched. But Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save the lost. That's why I've come. That's what burns in my heart. And that seeking and saving the lost was not a passive thing. It took him to the cross. And even on the cross, he was still looking out over the time going, I'm here to seek and to save the lost. It drove him. It was so much a part of his heart. Even when Jesus called the disciples, he said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men like me. Not me, him. I will make you a fisher of men. You know what Jesus was saying? He's saying, I'm going to go, but I'm handing over the baton to you. And you're going to run the race that I've already run. And you are going to be my hands and you're going to be my feet. You're going to be my heart. You're going to run with the baton that I've already run with. And I'm passing it on to you to do. You know, Jesus hands the baton to every single disciple of his. That's what disciples do. Because Jesus said, he's not willing that any should perish or be lost, but rather that they would come to a saving knowledge of him. He's not willing that any should perish. And so he gives us the baton to run with. You see, Jesus was all about others and changing his followers to be all about others. He saw you being found so that he could give you the baton to be about others like him. You see, that's why we present our bodies a living sacrifice, so that we can represent him. We can be his hands. We can be his feet. We can be his voice. We can be his heart. It's when we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And Jesus said, that's just your reasonable act to worship. Worship is not just singing songs on Sunday. It's working, walking in his presence in the week, being his hands, being his feet, being his heart to others, carrying the baton that he's given us. That's a reasonable act of worship. You know, as it goes on, it says, when we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable act as worship, and it says then that our minds begin to be transformed. We begin to care about what he cares about. We begin to see what he sees. Then it says that we will find ourselves in the will of God, in his perfect good, in his, what is it, how does it go? His let me have a look at the good and perfect will of God. That's what it is. You know, so many of us are looking for the will of God. You present your body and you find yourself in the will of God. You find yourself living the will of God. You find yourself proving the will of God. You find yourself right immersed in what God has called you to do. The will of God for you is not out there. It's every day walking, holding the baton, being a light for Jesus, shining for him as you present your body a living sacrifice to him to be who he's called you to be. You know, with that in mind, I've had a number of people come to me just recently, and they've said to me, how do I evangelize? You know, there has never been an easier time to evangelize than right now. I got gray hair. I've been around for a while. There has never been an easier time than right now to evangelize. They've asked, how do I reach lost people? You know, I want to be about others, but how do I actually do it? Well, I want to share really practically with you tonight how you can do that. Is that okay? I want to bounce off a scripture in Luke chapter 19. So if you've got your Bible there, we'll look at a couple of keys from Luke chapter 19. And I'm reading from verse 1 to 10. This is such a well-known account. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. And so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore or fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. I want to start with that last verse, because this last verse anchors the whole passage. It's what drives the narrative and the words and the actions of Jesus. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. You know, there are two key principles that I see here that I just want to share briefly. The first is that love and care for people must be a motivation. Yeah. If we don't truly love and care, we won't even see the Zacchaeuses that surround our world. You've got to care. You see, Jesus saw Zacchaeus and he stopped and he interacted with him.
He entered into his world because he cared.
Why else would he have stopped the parade? Why else would he have left the multitude? You know, it's so easy to just care about the things we care about.
God wants us to care about the things that he cares about. Because that's what disciples do.
They care about what he cares about.
You know, we really see the things that we care about. And we act on the things that we truly care about. Care becomes what motivates us. Care and love become the motivating factors. And if we truly love and care, then we will act.
You know, if we're not motivated by what God cares about, we'll care more about what people think than actually caring. Yeah. We'll be more concerned with what people think rather than interacting. You see, in this account, if Jesus hadn't really cared, he would simply have followed the adulation of the crowd. He would never have stopped and focused his attention on the one God was looking at. He would never have associated with him. Notice the crowd said, "Why are you going with him? Don't you know who he is? Don't you know what this guy's a tax collector? This guy works for the Romans. This guy has ripped off. This guy has betrayed his nation." If Jesus had been worried by the crowd, he would never have stopped. But he saw the man and he said, "I'm going to your house. I'm going to hang with you." Fear rather than care could so easily have motivated him and his responses. You know, if you're looking for the approval of the crowd, you'll never see the man in the tree. Jesus saw him and loved and cared about him. His love and care brought acceptance rather than judgment. Jesus brought his world into Zacchaeus' world. The second thing that I see is that we really do need to be prepared to engage with other people's worlds and with where they are at. See, Jesus was prepared to simply enter into Zacchaeus' world. He made time. Jesus looked at him and knew that he had been ostracized, that he was lonely, that he'd been rejected. And Jesus stepped right into the middle of this man's need. He stepped right into the middle of where this man was at. He knew he was lonely. He knew that he'd been rejected. He knew all those things about him. And he says, the very thing that registered something of truth in Zacchaeus' house when he said, "I'm coming to your place for dinner. I'm going to eat with you. I'm going to hang with you. I'm going to spend time with you because you matter." He reached right into his world and loved him where he was at. You know, if we don't have time in our schedule, we'll never have time for dinner. You know that there are people surrounding your world who are in trees waiting for you. People that we all know. But how do we reach into their world? Well, we just do what Jesus did and what we saw him just do.
we care, and we connect with their reality.
You know, it's not hard. People say, well, how do you connect with their reality?
Guys, it's really not hard to see when somebody's worried. It's really not hard to see when somebody's anxious. It's really not hard to see when somebody's sad. It's really not hard to see when somebody's rejoicing and just wants to share something. It's really not hard to see when people are lonely. It's really not hard to see when people are on the margins. It's really not hard to see when people are depressed. It's really not hard to see the needs of people who surround our worlds every day. It's not hard.
Can I just give you, I want this to be practical, so I'm going to give you some examples. This is not to blow my own trumpet, but friends, this is what we can all do. This is how you get into somebody's world, okay? Is that okay? I was in a shop not so long ago, and there was a young Muslim lady. She had a scarf on, and she was obviously very committed to her Islamic faith. And as I'm browsing in this shop, I noticed that she kept yawning, constantly yawning. And so she came to me and she said, "Are you all right, sir?" I said, "Yes, thanks, but can I help you?" She says, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I notice you're really tired, that you're constantly yawning. Is everything okay?" And she looked at me and she said, "Well, if I told you, you would never believe me. You would never understand." I said, "Try me." She said, "Really?" I said, "Try me." She said, "Okay." She said, "I'm newly married. And my husband, he's a Muslim. He's just visited this other country. And he's brought back all these different artifacts that he's put up in our apartment on the walls and around the place." She said, ever since he has put them up, she says, "Things are going bump in the night and I'm terrified. There is no peace in our home. There's this presence that scares me silly." She said, "I have prayed and I have prayed and it's still there and I can't sleep. I'm so scared." And I said, "I think I know somebody who could help you." And she said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I know somebody who can get rid of that for you." She said, "Really?" I said, "Absolutely." I said, "His name is Jesus." I said to her, "If you let me pray, I can promise you that when you go home this evening, you're going to walk into peace. And you're not going to have a problem again, because my Jesus is so much bigger than that stuff. And he came to bring peace." I said, "I know you're of an Islamic faith, but you just watch my Jesus love on you." She went, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Can we pray?" She said, "Now." I said, "Absolutely." She said, "Okay." We prayed right there in the shop. And I know that when she went home, she's going to encounter peace. And she's going to go, "Who is this Jesus? My God couldn't do it, but his God could. Who is Jesus?" And I know she's going to go looking to find out who Jesus is. I had a sales lady come to my door just recently. And she was trying to sell a salesman being able to come to my place to quote on solar panels. And she was from UK. And she was, I don't know, middle, late 20s. And as we were talking, she just made the offhand statement, "Ah, well, nobody cares these days." I went, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa." I said, "I do." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I care." And she said, "No, people don't care." And so I started telling her some of the things we're doing in missions. Tears started running down her face. And she said, "I've never met anyone like you before," as she's standing at my front door sobbing. And I said, "Hey, I'm only different because somebody has changed me. I used to be like you. And I'm not looking down on you, but I know that God can change you." She said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah."
if he can change me. I used to be violent. I used to be aggressive. I used to always be looking for trouble. If he can change me, he can change you. Tears are running down her face. I said, you need Jesus. She had to go because she had another appointment. She said, well, what about the salesman? I said, yeah, send him along. I can talk to him too. So, 3 nights later on Tuesday night, the salesman turned up. He walks into our house and he sits down. Within 3 minutes, tears are running down his face. He said, I don't know what's going on. I never cry. I never, ever cry. I don't know what's happening to me. I said, I do. You just walked into the presence of Jesus. He loves you. And then he started telling me how his marriage is broken up and he's trying to make do with a little boy. And I said, hey, Jesus can help you. He loves you. This guy's going, I can't believe this. I said, you have to if you want Jesus, but it's... You know, it's not hard, huh? Guys, it's not hard getting into other people's worlds if we just care, if we just listen. I met last week with a car salesman. He was trying to sell me a car. You beauty. He starts talking about his car. And I noticed that he was from another country. And I said, so how are you finding Australia? He says, yeah, I really love it, but it's different to home. I said, what do you mean different? He said, well, back at home, we have far more of a sense of community. He said, here, there's just no community. I said, I've got just the community for you. He went, really? I said, absolutely. I have exactly the community for you. He said, where is that? I said, Nations Church. Fantastic community. I said, but you know better than that? He's going to deal with the loneliness that's in your heart. You need more than community. You need an encounter with him. Yeah. Who's going to take your loneliness. Yeah. He's going, really? I said, yeah, absolutely. Hey, it's not hard, right? I was at the barber's the other day. I know. I got ripped off. I know, it cost me $25. They don't have to do much these days. But I'm sitting there for the short time that it takes. And the barber, I said to him, so how's your week been? He said, I've had a terrible week. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, what's happened? He said, well, my 3-year-old boy contracted like this meningococcal thing, except it wasn't that, it was something that was worse, and was in intensive care. I said, hey, I know somebody who can help you. I know somebody who cares for you. I know somebody who cares for your boy. I know somebody who has a future for your son. It's not hard, right? It's just caring enough to get into people's worlds. Yeah. You know, Emily and I, at the Heroes thing, she brought some of her friends from her course here to help and to volunteer. And I saw her standing just over there near the black curtain with her friend. And her friend was just kind of taking it all in. So I made it my business to... involve myself in the conversation. Is this right, Em? And she said, I just feel such peace here. These people are so joyful. There is something here that I just don't understand. I said, well, let me help you. I can help you understand. What you're sensing is people who know Jesus, who love Jesus, who are doing this because they actually genuinely care for the kids because God has put something in their heart. And then she started to cry. And she said, you know what? At home, my brother is Down syndrome and there's things happening and I don't understand all of this. And I said, well, you can. Is that hard? You see, you have people surrounding your world who are going through things that if we care enough, it really is not hard. And I found that people are so open. They don't want religion. They want somebody to connect with their heart. They want somebody to connect with them that actually cares and has got a solution. Don't preach at people. Get into their hearts. People are so willing to hear and to engage when they know there's somebody who actually really cares. And you're the representative of somebody who cares. And we'll let them. And you have the time and the heart to reach into their world, to connect your world with their world. Jesus constantly reached out to people. He constantly met them at their point of need. He constantly brought his world into their world. He engaged with where they were at. The woman at the well, Zacchaeus that we've read about, blind Bartimaeus. The madman who lived amongst the graves. Jesus got in a boat and traveled through a storm all the way across the lake to reach into the lonely, horrific world of one demon-possessed man who lived in the tombs. He set him free. And then he turned around, he hopped back in the boat, went right across the lake again. He did it for that man. Jairus. You go on, you look at how many times Jesus just loved and cared for people enough to get into their world, to engage with them, where they were at and what was going on with their life. Friends, people don't want religion. People want somebody who actually cares. People are looking for a friend who will point them to somebody who will bring hope to their lives, who can be so real to them. That's what they need. That's what people are open to. Don't get into people's face. Get into people's heart. You know, I know that it can be really challenging out there. And I know that it's so easy to be fearful and to worry about, you know, what the response will be and all that stuff. See, when we truly surrender to Him, when our life is a living sacrifice, it doesn't actually matter what they think. It matters what He thinks. It matters what He's about. And reaching them. Three real quick keys. Real quick. Humble yourself. That's what God is saying to me constantly now. Humble yourself before God. If you're struggling, it starts with humility. Pride says, I'm afraid. Pride says, I can't. Pride says, I'm worried about what they'll think. Pride says, I'm worried about their response. Because that's about you. Humility says, I'm worried about Him and what He says and what He wants. This is a season where God is just saying, just humble yourself. And you know my constant prayer? God, change my heart to love what You love. Change my heart to want what You want. Change my heart to be what You want it to be. Because there's a multitude of people out there that need Jesus. Oh, God, help me to be who You need me to be. See, the Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And when we'll humble ourselves, we find his grace comes and we find ourselves able to do things that you think and I think we can't do. But by grace, we can do, because he fills us. He opens our eyes. He opens the door. He opens the opportunities. He gives us the boldness. He gives us the wisdom. He gives us everything we need to get into people's worlds and care for them and see them touched for Jesus. But it starts with humbling ourselves. The second thing, just start praying for the lost. Not just your family, but pray for lost people. You watch God change your heart when you seriously begin to pray for people. You might even think, I don't even know how to pray. You start praying for lost people and you watch your prayers begin to connect with the heart of God. You watch the anointing begin to come. You watch your prayer life begin to grow. You watch your passion begin to grow. Because when you start praying that, you are praying the very heart of God. You are creating a space that God is going to rush into. God is going to fill. God is going to fill your heart. Because if you pray what is on his heart will become your heart, and you'll find that the expression will just come more and more. If you haven't got time to pray for the lost, it's a pride issue. Because it's more about you and what you want than him and what he wants. Ouch. It's the truth. Oh, God, humble my heart. God, help me to pray. The third thing, let faith arise. You know, if you're feeling inadequate, then let faith arise with an I can by the grace of God do it, because this is what he has given me to do. See, grace is God's divine ability to do what I can't do. I can't do it except it's by the grace of God. I've got nothing to say except it's by the grace of God. And what faith does, faith begins to unlock the hand of God. Faith begins to release grace to do what only God can do. You see, grace is God's hand out to us. Faith is us reaching out to take hold of what God is reaching down for us. It's a connecting with his divine ability to do what we can't do. Oh, let faith arise that declares, I'm going to see people won for Jesus. I'm going to step into their worlds. I'm going to be me, be you. Don't be somebody else, but let you be effective in reaching people for Jesus, because his grace will equip you in your world to touch the people in your world. You watch the Zacchaeuses appear in your world when you unleash faith to take hold of grace. His divine hand is there for you. Faith takes what is in his hand and makes it live and makes it walk in you and through you for his glory and his kingdom. Amen. Boy, we can do that, can't we? We can sure do that. Those that were up here, the front row, can you just come up again quickly? Shamim, and yeah. Okay. This is where we started. Friends, in your world, are the Zacchaeuses that are waiting in a tree somewhere for you. They're your divine opportunity to say, God, when Jesus comes, all of them are going to be here with him. Because we have connected with the heart of God, because we've seen the opportunity for every single one of these precious people. You know, if you look at these people right now, they're not people you know, right? They're people you don't know. People right now who are looking for a job, who are going, hey, Jesus, I need need a job. I need your help. People that are embarking on new things and scary things. You're going, God, help me. I need your help. People who are reaching out and going, God, how do I do this? What does it look like? People who are embarking on the whole journey of relationships and marriage and, hey, what does that all look like? How do I do that? Needs a lot of help. She needs a lot of people in her world right now. So. People who are desperate to see the will of God. Who are walking a scary path that's so big. It is so, so big. It goes, oh God, how? How? And we could go on. Rick's got too many issues. Come on.
It's not true. It's not,
it's not true. Thank you. You can sit down. But do you understand what I'm saying? Hey, guys, it's really not difficult. It's such an incredible privilege. It is such an amazing opportunity to be for others, because that's where God is, and that's where we meet Him. That's where the miracles are. That's where the gifts flow. That's where you encounter the heart of God and your destiny.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.